Hey, listeners, welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. I am Chuck Peters, your host, and I'm so excited to introduce you today to another podcast in the Lifeway podcast family. I recently had the opportunity to be on the Marked podcast with Kelly King and Elizabeth Heineman to talk about reaching the next generation. And so I wanted to share this special episode with you on our Kids Ministry 101 platform. Take a listen to the podcast, enjoy our conversation, and if you like it, look for the Marked podcast and other episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you back again soon for another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. Today, enjoy Marked.
Hello, and welcome to the Marked podcast. I am Elizabeth Heineman. I'm here with my co-host, Kelly King. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Elizabeth. I'll let you say hey. That, you know, yeah, we've got that little intro down, so I've got that figured out, and I'm not going to interrupt you at this point.
We have a sort of a script that we that Kelly tried to flip last week. That would be
flip
really
great. Well, we got flip the script author Chuck Peters with us. Okay, everybody, hang on, because the energy level is going to go way up.
Yes,
today.
Awesome. We're very excited. Yeah. So Chuck Peters is with us, and he is he works with us at Lifeway, and you are the host of the Kids Ministry podcast.
That's so right, the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.
Yes. So if you listen to that, you'll recognize his voice, his perfect podcasting voice.
I feel like, Kids Ministry 101.
Always wanted to be a radio guy. So like as a kid listening to the radio, the DJ was always like, oh, I wish I could do that and cue up the songs.
You have it.
If I ever had another career, maybe that would be it.
There you go. Well, I think you get to do a little bit of that in your job.
A little bit.
Us a little bit about yourself, what you do at Lifeway, your family, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a lot.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
So I tend to be, you mentioned energy. I'm an enthusiast. So Enneagram people, I'm a total seven. So everything is exciting and I like
things. It's a party.
And lots of different things. So I tend to be a good talker. I grew up in New Jersey in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. And so I'm also a Yankee and a Northerner. And so I kind of have that little bit of Northern energy too.
Yeah.
And I love pizza. So growing up in the Northeast.
New York style? What kind of pizza?
I know this
you
is like
You say
a,
New York style. I say New Jersey style.
Is it the same or different?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Large. It's got, okay. So the bigger the diameter, the better.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's reasons for this, like scientific reasons, right? So the ratio of crust and sauce and cheese changes if it's a small diameter pizza.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
The personal pizza, no.
Okay.
The bigger pie you can get, the better. So there are good places everywhere around the country. It's New York style, yes, but being a Jersey guy, I just can't go there.
Okay. Yeah.
And the Statue of Liberty is in New Jersey, by the way.
That's right.
Oh, it is.
I did know that.
It faces New York, but it's in New Jersey.
Yes.
Little known facts.
Fun facts. Yeah. I did not know that.
Tell us about your family.
My family. So my wife, Chris, grew up in the Pacific Northwest and Washington and Oregon, and then moved to Wheaton, Illinois. Her dad was in the Christian missions world in Wheaton. Mm-hmm. Her mom worked at the college and she went to high school there. And so she's a Chicago girl. I'm a Jersey guy. We met at school in South Carolina at Columbia Bible College, now Columbia International University.
Okay.
And so we were CIU, got married 2 weeks after graduation in 1992. Yeah. It's been a while now. And I moved her back to New Jersey and I was a student pastor and we did that. She was in preschool ministry at the same church. And so we did students in preschool together, which was really fun. But, you know, we were really young. And so we had like six jobs just to make ends meet and all that. So my interest has always been in media. And so I studied communications, TV, film, and radio is, like I mentioned, the radio thing. It's what I always wanted to do. So I studied television and video production and did that simultaneous to doing ministry. And in the 1990s, there was very few opportunities to put the two together.
Right.
There was very little, except for like the two Christian radio stations, you know, or whatever else. There wasn't a lot going on for a media professional in the Christian world. And so over the course of time, I had parallel careers doing ministry, vocationally and voluntarily, Chris and I together. And then looking for these opportunities to bring the two, which eventually happened for me down the road, but it took a lot of years of running the two parallels. We have four kids. Yeah. So we, after we were in New Jersey.
Okay, these are, these are the new things I learned.
So I brought her to Jersey. And so then we were there for a few years and moved to California because when you want to be in media, that's what you do.
Right.
Yeah.
Her dad, my father-in-law, was a pastor at a church in Northern California, a town called Chico, not Chino. Chino is Southern California with a prison. Chico's Northern California. And it was like known for being like the party school of the country or something. Anyhow, didn't go there for school, for the record, but moved there to connect with him and see what to do. And and then I chased down a career. So my two daughters were both born in Northern California. Okay. They're now both in their 20s and both recently married. So that's fun. We have a grandbaby on the way. You were mentioning your grandma name.
Yes, KK. Yes.
Yeah, I'm so KK. We're trying to work out.
Yeah,
like, name's going to be.
It's one of the first questions people ask you, too.
Is it? What's your grandma name going to be?
Yes. It's like a thing.
Is that is that as much a thing in New Jersey?
I mean,
because I've heard that that's like a Southern thing.
It could be a Southern thing.
Like all
thing.
The different
You're
names
right.
for everybody.
I mean, first of all, I'm a guy, so I'm not really in tune with that stuff anyway. And I was young when I was there.
Maybe more for women.
Maybe.
But did you
but
have,
it is a thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, it's very much in the South. Like, you don't have just like, I had a grandmother, which was very rare. Like, so, people were like, oh, you actually call her grandmother?
Grandmother.
And I was like, yes, it's very formal.
We, so
she was not a formal person, but that's just what we called her.
Yeah. So when I grew up, we called my grandparents Grandma and Grandpa Peters or Grandma and Grandpa Carpenter. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was. There was no name. It was just that.
Right.
So yeah, we're working on that. We're working on that.
That's fun though.
So, and then we had, so two girls by birth who were both born in Northern California and then two sons who came to us through adoption.
That's awesome.
Internationally from Ethiopia. Okay. So my girls are Tally and Tristan.
Okay.
My second daughter, Tristan, is in children's ministry full time. Okay. She's a children's ministry director at our church, and that's been so fun to watch her journey. And then our boys, Tyson and Tate, came to us when they were 4 and 18 months old as a sibling set from Ethiopia. So I've got two teenagers, two out of the home and two teenagers in the home. They're now 15 and 17. So pray for me. We're in the teenage boy years right now.
Oh, you still survive.
Fun, but
you
also
survive it.
Absolutely. It's an adventure.
I'm just sitting here and I'm hearing this about your story and I'm thinking, I love the way the Lord uses some of the things that you thought like with radio and with media. And even now that you are, you know, over kids ministry here at Lifeway, you are using the things that you bring in with everything that you've, and I think that's so cool the way God uses all of our experiences to kind of mold our paths.
For sure. And you know, it's, that just makes me think, Kelly, that it's, you know, when you're in something in the moment, you're like, just, I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing today. And it doesn't always make sense when we're walking it in real time, like with my sons, the challenges you go through raising teenagers and all that kind of stuff. It's hard right now, but I know that years from now, because of the rest of my story, when we look backwards, we see how God fits all those pieces together to bring exactly all the preparation and qualifications and experiences to put us right where we need to be right now for such a time as this. So, I think that's
And even your background, we were talking about your background sets you up for what you're doing now, like this big project that you're working on with Lifeway. So tell us about that and Hi-Fi and the new curriculum and what that is and all those things.
Yeah. So in my role, I have the great honor of leading the kids ministry area at Lifeway. So, you know, as a publishing company, we create a whole lot of resources ceiling to floor at Lifeway. And often, or the way that we're organized is it's like the church with ministry areas. And so I have preschool birth through sixth grade or so before they go off to the student ministry area, right? And so any resource that we make for the church is made by my team. And so we create Vacation Bible School. That's a huge one. That Lifeway VBS is huge. And I know the listeners out there, we've got huge fans of all the VBS music that we can all
sing. We were just quoting it yesterday. We were in a meeting and we were talking about names of God and somebody said Jehovah Jireh. And I was like, God, our provider. Like, I remember the like hand claps or something with that song.
All the hand motions
VBS.
And, you know, tumbling tumbleweeds and all the things that we do, submerge. So yeah, all those VBS songs that stick with you. My team creates all of that, which is awesome.
That's fun.
And then presently, well, I can't say presently, up until recently, three full lines of curriculum that we make every week, all year, that serve nearly 30,000 churches every week in kids with the Gospel Project,
right?
Bible Studies for Life, and Explore the Bible Kids. So, and those are just the curriculum things. We also have Team Kid and short-term resources and training events that we do and all kinds of different things.
Our Etch Conference. And you think about 30,000 churches that multiply the number of preschool and children.
Yes.
Millions.
Yeah.
It's the impact of that and the weight of that probably too, you know, of just saying, hey, we want to serve the church well.
And some of those churches that we serve are very, very big and they'll have thousands, and others are very small and they'll have a handful of kids, and they're all important, right? Because there's not a different value on those children. It's just how do they gather?
Yeah.
And so we need to be aware of the needs of leaders in small churches as well as big churches and create resources that work everywhere as effectively as they can. So
the New Line Hi-Fi is reaching out. We really are, the desire is to reach a demographic that we're not even reaching, right? So talk about that.
So we, Lifeway, we have a long history with as the Baptist Sunday School Board and then becoming Lifeway, where we have served children and families, really. Because although we minister directly to kids, we serve families, right?
Yes, that's
moms and dads and aunts and uncles and grandparents and whoever the grown-ups are in a child's life are impacted by ministry done to the child or with the child. And so this history of creating trustworthy biblical content for Sunday school and for children's ministry and all kinds of different settings is a rich history that Lifeway has. And so, you know, we are known for creating trustworthy content that's biblically faithful and that is, you know, that's trusted by churches to know that it's going to be safe and accurate and well done. And in that, we've got this long history of doing that a certain way. And so most curriculum resources, dare I say, up until really recently, are paper-based. They're usually quarterly. Quarterly literature is what it was when I came in years ago. Same.
Absolutely.
And you may still think of it that way, listener. Yeah. That's okay.
Do you have your quarterly?
Like, we got to order new literature. Like, that was, I was a church secretary for years. So it's like, it's time to renew the order for the literature. And that's like what we would call it.
And all of that assumes, or because it's been accurate, a certain way of doing ministry, which in many churches, what that looks like is small rooms. Where kids are divided by the grade that they're in, where they have a Sunday school teacher and maybe a flannel board or, you know, some kind of little something that they're going to use, hold up a teaching picture that's on a piece of paper and an activity sheet that the kids do at a desk or a table. And that's kind of the way, and that still works in many places, right?
Absolutely. So that's,
that is not obsolete. That is still the standard. However, more and more, there's a new kind of church with a different kind of need for a new kind of resource. And so you mentioned Hi-Fi. Hi-Fi is a brand new ongoing curriculum. And so that means it's going to happen all year, every year, forever and ever until it stops. That is different. And so we've created it from the ground up to be not exactly the opposite of what we've done, but to be, but to not be picking up the template of what we have in our other resources and just applying that to a new teaching study plan, it's a whole different experience. And so at Lifeway, we have a new kind of a internal, what do we call it, a motto, our mission statement. It's that we design trustworthy experiences that fuel ministry. And so this, in our space, the last big release that we had in terms of curriculum was 10 years ago with the Gospel Project. So we just celebrated our first decade. And so 10 years has flown by with that. The Gospel Project still seems new in a lot of ways, but it's been a decade. And so as we looked at what does the church need that we don't already provide, we came up with this concept for Hi-Fi. And the big goal in it was for us to be aware of the needs of the current church in a post-Christian context in areas of the country that Lifeway may not have served well historically. So we have Strong, being a Southern Baptist publisher, and we're located in Nashville. We serve a lot of churches that are in the South and the Southeast, and not quite as many in the North, East, and West. So as we set out to create this new resource, I've used that as an acronym, new for North, East, and West, where we need to be aware of the different cultural needs of churches in New Jersey and Chicago and California, places that my wife and I have lived, where church is just a little different and the people who show up have a different background and a different understanding of their worldview. And especially in today's culture, the understanding the worldview of the kids that we're trying to reach in the context that they live, we wanted to be careful to not try to make something in the South in the Bible Belt that feels very Baptist or very Southern,
right?
And then try to apply it in Colorado.
Yep. Right.
And so what we said is we still want to stay true to who we are. Mm-hmm. We are still Lifeway, right? And we are absolutely committed to biblical fidelity and all the trustworthy content and being true to the Baptist faith and message. All the things that we are committed to are still true. However, the way we do that and the way we present that for the church is completely different with Hi-Fi.
Yeah. It's really like being a missionary and going to a different country and you understand the context, you understand the culture. And so really what you all have done is said, what is our context? What is the culture? And not anybody can use it. It's not just for the Northeast and West.
And like, I've even thought about, like, I was part of a very tiny church plant for a little while, and we were doing some more inner city ministry here in Nashville. Yeah. And the way that our church was set up, we were like renting a space on Sunday mornings. And so we had to move in and move out. And we had a very small children's ministry if we had any kids show up.
Yes.
So it was like all ages were together. So this kind of thing. And like when we would try to do vacation Bible school or whatever, we had like, there wasn't that starting point that a lot of churches like have of like, this kid has been in church their whole life. So they know like what the Bible is, who Jesus is, who Paul is, but these kids did not. And so trying to, I think this would be applicable for lots of different scenarios, but with that kind of culture in mind of, hey, these don't have this base of like knowledge that a lot of us that grew up in the church environment, even if we didn't grow up in church, in the environment of it, kind of just have. It's like in the air in some ways, you know?
So how do you do that, Chuck? Like when you have that, when that's kind of your goal and the audience you want to reach, what does that look like?
Well, so it really starts from two places that have to come together and intersect. So one is research and the other is cultural awareness.
Yes.
And so my team and I have done a deep dive. So first of all, we bring our own experiences to that. We have our own awareness. Having lived in different parts of the country, you know, it's nice to have a team, and we've built a team that includes people who live in Seattle and who live in different parts of the country or are from different parts of the country who have helped us build the resource so that they retain, they live in that context, right? Even though they work for us, they live there. And so that just being immersed in what it's like to live in Washington State, for instance, or Southern California, helps us keep our finger on the pulse of what's real in those spaces with those actual children. And then research. And so we started this. We knew, we had an idea, which our president, Ben Mandrell, and his wife, Lindley, brought to us before coming to Lifeway. They were church planters in Denver, Colorado. And as good, loyal SBC people, they looked to Lifeway to say, hey, what kind of resources do we have? And the reality is they tried to use our resources that we currently make in that context in Denver, and it just wasn't working. There was too much assumption on awareness of just Bible knowledge. Who was like Paul? Or who is like, whatever? Then, you know, those... A resource like the Gospel Project, which is a fantastic resource, is chronological.
Right.
And so it's a comprehensive, chronological, Christ-centered curriculum. I like alliteration.
But that's a good way to describe it.
So, but in that, it builds week over week.
Right. And so if you just come in for 1 week.
In a context where the norm, and this is more and more the case everywhere, where you don't have kids every week.
Right.
They're with mom 1 week and dad another. Or they're they're one Sunday and then they're away for travel ball. And they're not there every week. It's easy to lose them in the story when each week builds. And so we said one of the first assumptions we need is we need a resource where every week stands alone if that's the only thing that you get this month.
Okay.
So things like that have really come together. But I mentioned the research. We partnered with Lifeway Research to do some analysis of data on what is happening in the culture and in the church. And you mentioned kids growing up without a church background or without a biblical worldview is what we've learned, is that each subsequent generation, and it's true, it's a, it's a decline that's steady going back to the greatest generation and then through baby boomers and Gen X and millennials and on down. With every generation, the culture identifies less and less as Christian and have less and less connection to a church. And so most of the children who are Gen Z and Generation Alpha that we're looking to serve today are raised by parents who are, in some cases, millennials who were not raised in the church at all.
That's right.
Or maybe had a very loose connection to anything Christian. And so we have a generation of kids in a post-Christian secular culture being raised by parents who don't have a biblical background. And so we're in a place where a lot of these, it is like missions work. Yeah. Kelly, you mentioned that, where we have to build, we have to have a new starting point. And so as we studied church attendance and generational behaviors, and what are the big felt needs of kids in this generation?
Right.
And that was some of the most enlightening information that we uncovered through the research.
What were a couple of those? Maybe something that surprised you or something
So we know anecdotally, but also through the research, that kids of this generation are different.
Yeah.
They are the most connected generation of all time through technology. They were born with a phone in their hand, right? Where with my generation, that was something that came later in life.
Right.
Kids were born with it. Our kids have iPads in their cribs in some cases, or in the shopping carriage in the store, kids on the phone.
Or they FaceTime with their grandparents, like my grandparents. Yes,
they're absolutely digital natives. Yes, and so that technology is innate in the culture. So they're the most connected generation of all time in history through technology, but they are the most lonely and isolated generation of all time in real life. IRL for you kids out there. They don't have real life relationships. Mm-hmm. Their early childhood was impacted by COVID to such a degree that they were masked and isolated away from other kids. And so just the idea of gathering together for many kids produces anxiety.
Right.
So anxiety is a high level.
It?
Yep. Mm-hmm. High level of anxiety, social anxiety and all kinds of different things, where just the idea of gathering together can be something that's difficult for many kids. So what we've learned, big things that we've learned, is we need to approach them differently because of that. We know that until a kid feels emotionally safe, they will be closed off from hearing. Right. And so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we need to communicate truth to them. But if they can't hear us because they're anxious or feeling unsafe, we have a barrier. So we need to build into our programming strategic ways to break down barriers. And so that's not something that happens accidentally. That's something that we need to do intentionally. That's very different. And so in Hi-Fi, as we've done the research, and that research fed into a book.
I didn't want to forget that we have this.
We should mention that. It's sitting in front of us on the table. But so my team and I wrote a book called Flip the Script. And Flip the Script is, it's available on lifeway.com if you want to check it out. It's a really beautiful ministry. It's a research and ministry strategy book for the next generation
I mean,
preschool
fun,
kids
and students. It's easy. I mean, it's not.
It's got a lot of charts and graphs and lots all of those information. Fun things. Yes. And it's beautiful. And I think it would be a great resource for if you are in children's ministry or if you have kids in children's ministry or if you just know a children's ministry leader.
Next generation.
To just get them this or make sure they know about it because it's such a helpful thing. I know when I did children's ministry, I would read resources like this to kind of just be like, okay, so where are the kids now? What are they doing? Because I don't have kids, so I don't know all that stuff. Just like by osmosis of being around them. So just trying to find information like that and where we can have a starting point and know how to reach them well.
Yeah.
So we do have we do have a free digital copy of this book
that
we can offer to anyone listening. Share it as far and wide as you want. It's a free PDF download. Yeah. And you can find that at lifeway.com/flip the script download I think we'll put
we'll have it in the show notes.
It's a long URL to type in, but it's
flip
worth
the
it.
Script download. You can remember
that. Flip the script download. Yeah, exactly. And then you can get a copy, a digital copy at least of the book.
Right,
this is something that really should be on the shelf of every preschool kid or student ministry leader.
I was thinking that too.
And so it's a not just because I contributed to the book, but there's such great stuff
info.
In here
yes.
to help us understand the needs of this generation in this culture.
Right.
And so we wrote this primarily for ministry leaders. However, I have had, Elizabeth, so many people come and say, would you rewrite a version that's for parents? Because parents do this too. I don't know that we're going to do that, though, I promise.
But they can probably still read this and
that
get
that speaks to the value of this information to understand our own kids.
Yeah.
So you had asked, what were a couple of those big needs in the culture? There are two big things that stood out clearly far and above that are the big cultural needs of the generation. The first one is the big cultural need for belonging. Mm-hmm. So we know kids are longing for belonging, mm-hmm. and they're looking for people who will accept them and love them and welcome them. And that needs to be us in the church, mm-hmm. right? Kids will are going to find this somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if they don't find it in the church, they will find it elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And so we as the church need to be the people who see them right. and acknowledge them and yeah. love them. And I say every child in the church needs a champion in the church. Mm-hmm. So the role of the leader today who is culturally aware is one of relationship. Mm. So because belonging is such a big need, we need to connect kids in relationship. And so the book is Flip the Script. We use the word flip as an acronym for yeah. four key relationships. Okay. So every kid, and this is for in the church, every child in the church needs to find a friend. That's mm-hmm. the F. Mm-hmm. When you have a friend, you want to attend.
Right.
Right. So we've got to be intentional. And when we have a kids ministry program where the format is sit still, face forward, be quiet, we don't have friendships.
Right.
Yep. So kids ministry needs to be loud and clear. Mm-hmm. And yes. so loud because there should be volume.
Yeah.
Kids are noisy. Sure. So let's not keep yeah. shushing them. Let's allow them to be noisy and harness that in a way that lets them create connection. So mm-hmm. that needs to be connections in these other ways. Yeah. So friends, the L is for leader. Every kid needs one adult leader who knows their name, their needs, and their situations. Mm. Someone who mm. misses them when they're gone on those weeks yes. when they're away and who celebrates them when they come back. Mm-hmm. Oh, I missed you. Marcella, I haven't seen you for 2 weeks. Where have you been? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We need leaders who are committed and mm-hmm. consistent and connected. And that's a different thing than leaders who are Bible teachers.
Yes. Right.
Right.
And I've seen that. Like when I have been a volunteer in children's ministry, the ones who are consistent that are there every week, those kids walk in the door and it's just magic to yeah. see them just go up to that leader and just feel so connected. Mm-hmm. They want, and not only the friend, but they want to be there because this adult cares for them.
Yes.
That's a good point.
I'm a substitute teacher in our children's ministry. And I actually usually substitute for Kayla Stevens, who's one of our co-workers.
She's the publishing team leader
yes,
for Hi-Fi.
Yes. Yeah. And so I feel like I like stepping into some big shoes when I come in, and they'll always be like, Miss Kayla doesn't do it this way. And I'm like,
that's funny.
I'm so sorry. But they like really respect her. And I can see that even when she's not there, that they are just like, this is how we do it with Miss Kayla. And I'm like, oh, well, then let's do it that way.
I call them kid whisperers. Yes. I mean, like there are certain people who are yes. just so good at just, I'm like.
But as a leader yeah. in mm-hmm. kids ministry, it really changes the type of volunteers you look
That's
for.
Right. Right. Right.
Because
That's
if
right.
we need to recruit yes. people who are master teachers, yes. who are intellectuals or communicators, that's really different than creating someone who is going to love and care for
right,
kids.
Right.
Now, we can carry the teaching part. That's why yes. our resources do mm-hmm. that for you. And yes, you need to be able to communicate to a degree.
Sure.
But with Hi-Fi, we've mm-hmm. built a resource that doesn't require the volunteer to be a teacher. Yeah. It requires you to love kids
yeah.
and create connection. So
friend, leader.
Friend, leader. The I is influencers.
Okay.
Everyone in the church is an influencer.
Yes.
Right. This is what kids want to grow up to become. So an yes. influencer on social media. So we know that influence is something that you only gain when you first have trust and respect. So I call it TRI, trust plus respect equals influence. Mm. And so we gain trust, we have to earn that. We gain respect, we have to earn that. But once we have it through relationship, we earn it. Another thing we know about this generation is they don't listen to just anyone just because they don't trust mm-hmm. denominations or institutions mm-hmm. or just the person up front with the microphone as an authority.
Right.
But when they know Miss Kayla, or when they yes. know Miss Elizabeth, even though she's not Miss Kayla, but when they know yes. you, they'll listen to you because right. there's mm-hmm. trust and respect. And mm-hmm. so therefore you have influence. Outside of relationship, mm-hmm. you cannot do ministry anymore where you mm-hmm. to kids and students where you have a person stand up and read a piece of paper mm-hmm. if they're a stranger. You can't yeah. read a piece of paper. You have to be connected mm-hmm. so that they'll hear what you have to say. So
I feel like Amy Jo Gradier kind of mentioned that yes. on that podcast. So go back and yes. listen to that podcast too, because she talks about Gen Alpha and
yes.
kind of that outside influence. Mm-hmm. So I think that's
That was a good episode. I yes. endorsed that episode.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. So influencer, but everyone's an influencer. The person right. who high fives a kid at yes. the door, the person who walks them down the hallway, mm-hmm. the one who plays a game with them in a little huddle, or who leads the worship time. Everyone's an influencer. When kids see believers as adults interact with each other, that influences what Christianity looks like, what our faith looks like. And so everyone has influence, everyone in the church. And then the P is an important one. That's pastors. And so kids need to know that the pastor of the church is their pastor too. And that the pastor is a person, not just a persona on a platform. So we need to be intentional about bringing pastors into preschool kids and student ministry spaces. Oftentimes kids ministry and students are isolated in a different wing or maybe a different building across the parking lot, and they may not have any opportunity to interact with the pastor. So that doesn't mean the pastor has to come in and lead a lesson, but to just come in and be like, hey, we're going to do three questions with Pastor Ian. What do you like for breakfast? Do you have a dog? What's your favorite? Whatever. And just to build relational connection so that now when he is preaching, they feel like they have a friend in that pastor. So So the sense for belonging. Kids need to feel belonging, to feel connected. And when they feel that they are seen and heard and known and loved, those barriers that we talked about come down and eyes, ears, hearts, and minds are opened to hear and receive.
I love that.
And that's not just this generation. I was actually reading I mean, I think it's more profound, maybe a need that they feel more
and
profoundly.
Pervasive,
But it's definitely something. I was reading a book that's a secular book by a secular author about cults. I'm like weirdly interested in cults, but not to join one.
We'll talk about that later.
Sociology and the linguistics. This was a linguist who was talking about the language of cults. And she said she was just going through. She was like, we see cults on the rise when people need belonging. And she was like, people always need belonging. It's almost like we're programmed to belong to something. And I was like, it is almost like we were created for community and connection. And so it was just interesting to see her from that very secular, like non-Christian perspective, a non-Christian worldview, see that need and how we as Christians know the solution to that. We know like the ultimate belonging in Christ and then with each other. And so that's something that I think is going to be just more and more prevalent and more a need for us to show, like, you belong here, you belong with us, we belong together, we can show you who you belong with, like the ultimate belonging and how we reflect the Trinity with that. And so it's such a beautiful thing to see this curriculum and this research kind of back up that and how we can, like, make that happen in our churches. And so I love the acronym because I think that's something that we can demonstrate. Like you were talking about influencer, seeing how they interact with each other. See how we welcome people in. See how we belong to each other and we talk to each other and communicate as a family. And that can definitely influence the kids. So I
love
that.
The interesting thing to me, that light bulb moment is that the new approach to ministry, which we're talking about, the subtitle of the book is Disrupting Tradition for the Sake of the Next Generation. We get stuck in our trenches, right? And a groove can become a rut if we're not careful, and we get stuck in how we do things. The new thing is a very old thing. And that is discipleship is relational. It's discipleship is always and only in a context of relationship.
It's so, whose idea was that?
That goes back to follow me, right?
And the disciples or it goes back to like, we created them in our own image, you know? Like it's a fellowship from the very beginning.
Well, Deuteronomy 6 is the passage often cited in kids ministry, right? It's you impress these things on your children when you sit down and rise up and when you walk along the road. And so pulling from that and looking at the model Jesus used with the disciples, he called them by name and he said, follow me. He didn't say study what, we do study and they did study, but the call was walk with me. And as they walked, they talked. And so discipleship is walking together and talking together. And so we can't just talk at kids. We have to walk with kids. And then they'll hear what we have to say. So that first big takeaway was the need for belonging, the big cultural need for belonging, which we address by being intentional through the resource in helping churches create stronger, better, deeper relationships in these four areas.
I love that.
The second big takeaway, which is really the other half of the HiFi resource, is the big cultural needs around answering the questions of identity. And so we know in our culture that word identity is almost a a trigger word, mm-hmm. right? With all the gender identity issues and the different things that are going on mm-hmm. in the culture. Honestly, these two words, belonging and identity, when we first hit on them, I was a little concerned that the church may not be ready for us yeah. to lead with these words. But the truth is, right. we have to answer. We as Lifeway, but we as the church mm-hmm. have to speak to these real needs of real kids in yeah. a real world. So we have to speak to identity. So there are different approaches to what we teach and how.
Right.
What we instill in our kids. Yeah. And there's a couple, I think of it like a bowling alley. You mm-hmm. guys bowlers?
I have
my
bowled.
Parents were bowlers.
I'm so a terrible bowler, but I have
parents were bowlers.
Yes.
Like they were in leagues yeah. and we had bowling trophies in our house. I never Love was, it. But like they had their own ball, their own bag. So I don't know.
If you have your own ball, your own
see,
bowling
that's
bag.
Yeah, the that's like phrase,
a, yeah. or your own shoes. Yes.
The
too.
Towel that like has some kind of bowling yes. phrase on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think of that where we right down the middle is where the pins are that we want to hit. And the pins are sort of shaped like a heart. If you kind of go with me on that, right? We want to hit the heart of the child, which is the strike. That's right down the middle. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we can, in a very well-meaning way, hit one of two gutters mm-hmm. where we unintentionally may hit the gutter that says your faith as a Christian or what it means to be a Christian is all about what you know.
Yeah.
And it's Bible knowledge. And if we can just teach kids all the Bible trivia and they can answer who was this and what was that and how many commandments and what are they and all the, if they memorize the content in the head, that's what it means to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And we know that's not fully true. Knowledge is important.
Right.
Sure.
But if we don't hit the heart, we miss the child. We can, and that tends to create Pharisees, right? Mm-hmm. Who are knowledgeable, but not transformed. Yeah. And the other side is that our faith is what we do. It's mm-hmm. behavior. If you're a believer, you don't do this or you do this and you don't go there, but you do go here on Wednesday night or Sunday evening or whatever, right? And we know there's, it's easy to fall into legalism on either side.
Sure.
And so what we know to be true is when the only thing that really matters is reaching the heart. So we can't talk about ministry based on behavior modification. We have to focus on heart transformation.
Right.
And so when we get there, behavior follows.
Yes.
Knowledge follows because now there's transformation. So it's really all about going for the heart.
Yeah.
So in all of that, right, we have this, the heart of our faith isn't what we know and it's not what we do. That's not where we start. Those are outcomes. Those are fruits.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The root is in our identity. Mm. And so as we speak to this idea, the big cultural need is kids search for who am I? And then you identify with certain groups of people as the people who where you belong based on who you think you are. And those people speak to who you are. And so we as the church need to tell kids, hey, you don't have to search for identity because God has already revealed that. Mm-hmm. And so the whole study plan for Hi-Fi is 12 simple biblical identity truths about who you are because of who God is. Mm-hmm. So each month we'll study one truth. I am known. I am loved. I am designed for a purpose. I am meant to know God. I am here to do good. I am here to tell others about Jesus. I am set apart. I am broken, but not beyond repair. I'm forgiven in Christ. And so these I am statements are the core that we want to impress on the hearts of all these kids. And over the course of the year, they will learn 12 things, one a month, that tells you who you are. I am known. Yeah. But it doesn't stop there because that's very me-centered.
Right.
It's I am known because God is. And so every one of those is attached back to a truth or an attribute about who God is. Mm-hmm. I'm known because God knows everything.
Yeah.
And therefore he knows me. And looking at Psalm 139, not just who you are, but he knows your thoughts and your heart and the words you're going to say before you speak them. He sees you wherever you go. You can't run anywhere where you can hide from him. So this is the approach we take where we'll study these 12 simple biblical identity truths so that over the course of a year, every kid will understand that their identity is rooted in who God is.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a really practical nuts and bolts question because I don't know if anybody else is thinking this, but so there's these 12 months and it's an ongoing curriculum. Mm-hmm. So if I purchase a Hi-Fi, do I fall? Like, can I just join it anytime?
Yeah.
Is there like, do I start at one point? How does that work?
Yeah. Well, in the same way that we say we assume that no kid, potentially a child, won't be there every week.
Right.
We know people might want to join at any point in time. So there is no beginning and no ending to Hi-Fi. So we've laid out our study plan, these 12 truths, in a circle. And so we will go around and around the circle. There's no first session or last session.
Right.
We rotate through 12 truths that we've divided into three big categories. One is God's passion for me. Mm-hmm. One is his purpose for me. And one is another P that I'm having a hard time remembering right now. My position before him. Yeah. And so those are, thank you. Who wrote this book anyway? So in that, you can join anytime. And it's not really a purchase. So HiFi is different. Okay. So it's all digital. Right. There's no paper. There's nothing that's mailed to you. It's instant access once it's up and running. Mm-hmm. First use is in September. So September 3rd or 6th, whatever it is, coming up really soon. And it's accessed immediately, digitally.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cool things about it because it's digital. But it's not exactly a purchase. It's a subscription. So like you subscribe to, I don't know, Netflix or Hulu or something where you access content. HiFi is media driven. Mm-hmm. We use a lot of media to carry the heavy lifting of teaching along with in-person stage host and small group leaders, activities and discussions for kids and things, but it's media driven and digitally accessed. So
That's awesome.
Great. You can start anytime. So you do that. And so it doesn't matter what month you start, you just continue. And when we come back around, so the whole study plan is these 12 truths.
Right.
And the goal is that we will go over them again and again and again, year over year. But each time we come around, that truth is dressed in a theme. Okay, so to get started, the first theme, I am known for September, the theme or the truth is I am known. The theme is zoom in. So God zooms in up close and he can see you up close, right? Okay. So zoom in is the theme. Yeah. We have a theme song like you would have in VBS. That's the zoom in song. And it's different for preschool and for kids. Okay. I'm over preschool and kids. Student ministry is also a part of this. Right. It's a next gen resource. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we should mention that there is Wi-Fi for students. I think sometimes we, even around LifeWay, it tends to be preschool and children.
Yeah,
but it is students.
It's for the next generation. It's a next gen resource, birth through high school. And each one of those is completely unique and contextualized to that age group. Yeah. So preschoolers
have
something.
Sometimes people are like, oh, theme songs. I don't know if our seniors in high school are going to do hand motions, but preschoolers, all about it.
And preschool songs are very different than kids' songs.
Right, exactly.
Sure. Very much like VBS, we use the music to help teach the content.
Yes.
The memory verse is baked into the song and the big things to take away. And the themes in the Bible stories that we use, the passages, are aligned in preschool and kids.
Okay.
In there could be Old Testament or New Testament, depending on the truth we're teaching week to week. In the student space, they're focusing in the Gospels and in the ministry of Jesus.
Sure.
So your identity is found in Christ. And that's the big thing we need to communicate. You belong in the church and with other believers, and your identity is in Christ.
Yeah. So the 12 truths are the same for high school through birth through high school, I guess I should say.
Correct.
Okay. So like your church could do, your next gen ministry can all do the same truth, but they might be studying different scripture passages in the student ministry than in the preschool and kids.
Right. So we align on truth.
Right.
So what that means is the whole family for the month of January is studying the same truth, the same big truth. And then we contextualize that.
Right. That makes so much sense. Yeah.
So with parent resources and family nights and family events that we're including and all the different training for leaders, it's all wrapped up in there.
Well, I know like this has been a project that you have had your hands in for a long time.
Yeah.
And we've been so excited about doing it. We're like, out of time, but
I want to ask real quick because I know HiFi is spelled like my last name,
And
it's
H-Y.
Not one that's easy to spell. So tell us just real quick how you can find out more about HiFi, where you need to go, and all that kind of stuff.
Real quick, let me tell you about the name HiFi, just really fast.
Yeah,
so
tell us about
people
that.
Say is HiFi an acronym, and it's kind of.
Yeah.
So because with the belonging and identity side, we use it changes or can change. So when a child first arrives. On the belonging side, we say HiFi stands for here you feel included.
Yeah.
And on the back side, here you find identity in Christ. So HYFI is HiFi.
HYFI.
The website is myhifi.com, which is myhyfi.com.
There you go.
That's myhyfi.com.
We need a little jingle for that.
We need a jingle.
Carpet cleaners that we all know, the 1-800.
So myhifi.com is a place you can read about preschool kids and students. iterations of the resource, and you can click through to get to some free preview and sample sessions.
Oh, that would be so helpful.
So you can check it out because it's all digital. Yes. It's customizable. Yes, like paper stuff isn't. So there's so much cool stuff in the way that the interface works that you really have to see it to try it.
Yeah. And we'll have a link in the show notes as well if you if you did not memorize the
MYHYFI.com.
And Chuck, you know, this is the Marked Podcast. We cannot finish without asking you our question. Tell us something that's marked you in your walk with Christ.
So I've spent time with this. So like I listened to the podcast. So I'm familiar with this. And I went back to listen to a few other answers to say, where do I go? And the truth is I have a hard time picking one thing. So I've got like
Everyone
three. So
does,
maybe I can come back another time and share another one.
Sure.
But as I talked about this, I'll just rattle off two and then I'll hit one. So one of them I think of is parenting. Mm. And so I have learned so much about the Lord in my walk with him after becoming a dad, especially now with teenagers where that are difficult sometimes and they make decisions. I don't, that's a big one. Another one is the music that I listen to and listened to as a child and a teenager. Mm. Christian music's influence on my life has been huge.
I don't think anyone has ever said that. Yes, that's
and there's, and
true.
My brain is this weird repository of commercial jingles and Christian music in my head that everything comes up.
Yes.
But the one that I would share that I would say as I was thinking through this, that's maybe the biggest impact was opportunities I've had to go on short-term mission trips to other countries. So I've been to Honduras and to Pakistan and to China, got our boys in Ethiopia. I've never been anywhere outside the US that's been a first world country.
Oh, wow.
Only the third world, Jamaica, mission trip to Jamaica. And in every single case, the first one especially, and especially for parents to take their kids and teenagers on trips.
Yes.
My worldview was completely blown up the first time I went to Honduras and spent a week there with kids in a barrio teaching VBS and working
on
a basketball court.
My husband just did that this summer.
Is that right?
He went to Honduras in the same area and did VBS.
So that's one of those things where that opened my eyes to the reality of the world. When we look at how much we have, I came home just looking at how, I've never thought of myself when you read all the things about the rich man in the Bible, the rich person. Oh my goodness. Even the poorest of us is so rich compared to most people in the world.
Right.
And to see the need, even the joy that they have in places where they have no possessions changes how I see the world. And it changes my heart for the world. And so to have opportunities to interact with churches in India who are using our VBS and things like that, it's just been so wonderful, amazing to see. But those opportunities to those where I've taken to go to these different cultures on a short-term trip has completely been transformational in my walk.
I love that. And that's been the same for me as well. Yeah. So I think we definitely are always encouraging people to get outside of their comfort zone, whether that is in the United States somewhere or it's, you know, across the world. So I think that's definitely something that has marked all of us in some way or another.
Yeah.
I've had that opportunity.
And again, another reminder of how God has used those trips to really even influence this new curriculum too, because you've seen that. You've seen different cultures and that helps.
The world is at our door. Right? We don't have to go. We can go across the street and have an international ministry. And so that's living our lives in front of the world is really all it's ever been. Discipleship in relationship.
For Well, Chuck, wow, this has gone by so fast. I know our listeners have loved just hearing your story, but also just, you know, this wasn't just an advertisement for HYFI, but it's really the heart behind it and why we feel like it's so important. So thank you so much for being part of our podcast today.
It's such an honor to be here with both of you. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, listeners, thank you again for joining us for the Marked Podcast. And we want to see you back here next week.
Bye.